This is a recording of the Manuel Perez conference with Erstrat on October 26, 2018 at 9 a.m. Central Time. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the third quarter 2018 Gentara conference call. I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Enrique Barrera, the Investor Relations Officer of the company. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera Flores, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Majós, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results for Gentera for the third quarter period after the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Majós for his presentation. Enrique, please, go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending our third quarter Gentera's report. I remember 1 year ago when we had to report that we were facing a critical business situation in Gentera, and specifically in Banco Compartamos Mexico. At that time, we explained we were going to spend the rest of 2017 and the first half of this year on three priorities. First, bringing back our traditional high levels of customer service. Second, stopping the loss of clients. And third, improving and maintaining the quality of our portfolio. We also said that we expected to start growing again by the second half of this year. We now feel proud to announce that our diagnosis and action plan worked as expected. We feel confident that we will close the year above our original guidance for 2018. As you remember, our guidance of portfolio growth of the year was between 0 and 4%. However, as of today, we expect to close the year growing above 8% our portfolio. We also originally guided net income between 2,450 million pesos and 2,650 million pesos. Now, we expect to end between 2,650 million pesos and 2,800 million pesos, not considering non-recurrent income. This implies an EPS between 1.65 and 1.75. Having said that, let me now give you some specifics on our third quarter results. As I mentioned, this quarter we started growing again. Just in the third quarter, Gentera grew 2.7% in clients and 3% in portfolio. Banco Compartamos grew 1.7% in clients and 4.2% in portfolio. Peru grew 7.2% in clients and 0.7% in portfolio in pesos. And Guatemala increased by 3.7% in clients, while portfolio decreased 1.6% in Mexican pesos. It is important to mention that FX had a small negative impact when consolidating the results of Peru and Guatemala. From that, portfolio in Quetzales grew 6.4%. As you can see, Peru continues adding value to Gentera with outstanding results, specifically in two lines: group lending methodology growth and high-quality portfolio risk management. And regarding Guatemala, it is relevant to mention that we just reached our first 100,000 clients a few days ago. Another key indicator is the quality of our portfolio across Gentera. Cost of reserves are consistently healthy and across our business units and products, and our most recent loan vintages are looking good. And talking about efficiency, we also have had improvements along the year. We recognize we still have work to do to improve our income expense ratio and working on our expenses to lower than them. However, we anticipate this year we have reduced significantly the growth rate of our expenses. For the first time in our history, we estimate that 2018 expenses will grow below 10% in a yearly basis, and we are fully committed to maintain a single-digit expense growth for 2019. As we have said, efficiency is a fundamental driver in our strategic plan for the future, and in 2019, income will grow at a higher rate than expenses for the first time in many years. And by the way, a short note about this quarter report. I am sure that you noticed that Gentera's net income for this quarter was around 80 million pesos below the second quarter of this year. Mario Langarica will provide more detailed information about it, but I just want to point out that the increase of net income in the second quarter, followed by a decrease in the third quarter, was due to the effect of some non-recurrent benefits registered and reported on the second quarter of the year. The decrease in the net income in the third quarter was not related to the performance of the business. I am sure that by now you are interested in our guidance 2019. As we did last year, guidance for 2019 will be provided on our next conference call report. However, I can share with you some 2019 expectations. First, we will maintain efforts on customer service as the main differentiator of Compartamos in the market. Second, portfolio growth should be double digits in the lower teens range. Third, efficiencies and lower cost operations will continue to be our priority. And fourth, transformation and innovation of our business model will continue, now with stronger steps after a year of challenges and a lot of learning. Automation and digitalization of business processes, projects in our innovation lab, FinLab, and other transformation initiatives will continue to be top priority for us. Let me now give you some information regarding our business units. Gentera subsidiaries continue with solid performance during this quarter. Aterna concluded the third quarter with 5.1 million active life insurance policies. Yastas recorded 1.5 million financial transactions to over 2,800 affiliates. Intermex processes over 6,200 million pesos in remittances. FinLab, our innovation lab, continues building alliances with innovation hubs and startups. And Fundación Gentera provided support to over 11,000 people through our partnership with multiple organizations and through our own staff from Gentera's different business units. And let me just finish by updating you about ConCrédito. As you know, we are in the process of understanding each other's operations for future synergy. As we explained before, Gentera's management team is not involved in ConCrédito's operations, since ConCrédito has a strong ongoing operation, and Gentera's team is concentrated on taking care of this year's challenges. Yet, we are actively participating on ConCrédito's board, looking forward for future synergy. As we said last quarter, ConCrédito will contribute to Gentera's 2018 results with around 70 million pesos in net income. Let me now turn the call to Patricio Diez de Bonilla, our CEO for Banco Compartamos, who will provide you some interesting information about Banco Compartamos in Mexico. Please, Patricio, go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique. As we mentioned during last year's third quarter conference call, the recovery plan was expected to show positive trends until the third quarter of 2018. After bold decisions that we've made during the year, I'm pleased to highlight some of the improvements in performance metrics that we achieved during this quarter. After more than 20 months of losing customers, during this quarter, we grew over 41,000 customers compared with the second quarter of 2018. It is a relevant figure for us because it reflects that the customers are coming back to the bank due to the perceived benefits of the financial products and services that we have improved during the year. Customer retention rate has improved, and we are now moving at 86% compared with the low 80s 1 year ago. Growth can be seen in every product, and we expect that the fourth quarter of this year, the growth momentum remains to finalize the year in a better position than the previous year. On the portfolio side, demand for credit was solid in the quarter. We grew 4.2% compared to the previous quarter, and we now deliver a 1.8% growth if you compare the portfolio versus December 2017. The result obtained is a reflection of the operational adjustments and commercial decisions that we have made in the past, which are now gaining traction. Let me recap some of them. A strong focus on enhancing our product offering, improving our credit origination process, and monitoring activities. The latter related to weekly or biweekly visits to the client's group meetings. Changes in the incentives of the sales force to be focused on service and asset quality, prioritize strategic projects to deliver better and faster results, and finally, a strong commercial proposition that will allow us to grow the customer base in a more solid way. The implementation of all these initiatives have been focused and effective. Another highlight for the year has been asset quality. Due to stricter origination processes in Crédito Comerciante and Crédito Individual, write-offs in 2018 have decreased 34%, and NPL is now below 2.5%. This is the best ratio we've had in the last 35 months. Finally, employee turnover also showed positive trends. We expect to finalize the year in 27%, a figure that has never been seen in 28 years of history in the company. This reflects a positive work environment for our more than 18,000 employees in Mexico. In addition, due to the lower turnaround of employees, we can be more effective on the service side with customers as we have more experienced personnel in front of them and should reflect in customer retention. All in all, after more than 12 months of facing different challenges, now operational dynamics and financial metrics are improving, and we expect to finalize 2018 with better trends in most metrics and with stronger credit demand, which will not be also supported by seasonal effects, given that the fourth quarter is normally strong in credit demand. As you can see, there are many reasons why we expect to finalize this year in a strong mood, which will be a solid starting point to enter 2019 in a better position to maintain our effort for financial inclusion. Thank you all for your attention. I will now turn the call over to Mario Langarica to review Gentera financials for the quarter.
Thank you, Patricio, and thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. In this third quarter, interest income stood at 5.28 billion, representing a slight 0.2 contraction compared to 3Q17. This result was mainly driven by a smaller average loan portfolio in 3Q18 compared to 3Q17 and allow your participation of Compartamos Financiera in Gentera's consolidated portfolio, representing 31% at the end of 3Q18 compared to 25.7% in 3Q17, where Peru has a lower margin compared to Mexico. Interest expenses grew 19.9% compared to 3Q17. This increase is mainly explained by, one, the increase in the interest reference rate in Mexico, two, the extra liquidity that Banco Compartamos took at the end of 2Q18 to mitigate potential market volatility, and three, the 33% increase in liabilities in Compartamos Financiera to fund the solid growth of the portfolio in Peru, which, as you know now, grew 29% on a year-to-year basis. As a consequence of this dynamic, net interest income showed a slight 1.7% contraction compared to 3Q17. Net interest margin stood at 49.3%, representing a contraction compared to the 55% achieved in 3Q17. It is important to mention that our conservative decision to increase our cash position in Banco Compartamos in mid-year to cover for 2018 uses of funds affected this ratio. This extra liquidity was diminished during 3Q18. If Gentera hadn't had this additional liquidity, NIM before provisions for 3Q18 should have stood around 51.4, and NIM after provisions should have stood at 44.6. As we already mentioned, asset quality is improving, with provisions decreasing 25% compared to 2Q17. Net interest margin after provisions stood at 42.7%, a similar level to 43.2% reaching 2Q18, and below the 45% ratio obtained in 2Q17. This ratio was also affected by immediate extra liquidity. The cost of risk for this quarter stood at 7.9%, which continued to be below our original expectation and was one of the key drivers that supports our decision, as Enrique already signaled, to move upwards our net income EPS guidance for this year. Fee expenses increased 8% compared to 2017, mainly due to the flexibility that we are now giving to our clients to use third-party infrastructure or own infrastructure at their convenience. Net commissions showed a 4.1% contraction compared to the figure reached at the end of 2017. Operating expenses grew 7.4% compared to 2017. As explained in previous calls, this increase is mainly driven by, one, employees' compensation, two, the success of this year's incentive program for the sales force, three, marketing and other strategic initiatives to reward good customer performance, and four, infrastructure expenses. Our objective for 2018 is to have operations expenses growing in a single digit, around 8%, as Enrique already mentioned, and the efficiency ratio for the quarter stood at 66.8% compared to 74.5% in 3Q17. For the nine-month period, the efficiency ratio stood at 76.1%, which, as we have mentioned in other calls and as stated previously by my colleagues, is still above our midterm objective, but in line with our projections for the year. Gentera reported net income of $735 million for the quarter, represented a 15% growth compared to the recurrent net income reached in the previous quarter of 63.5 million pesos, and as Enrique mentioned above, and as explained last quarter, in 2Q18, we had two non-recurrent events for a net amount of around 186 million pesos. Caldera's 3Q net income was 2% lower than 3Q17. For the nine-month period, return on equity and return on assets stood at 7.7% and 6.6% respectively. Finally, in other remarks, we wanted to mention, as you probably already know, that on September 17th, Banco Compartamos returned to the market, to the debt capital market, issuing long-term debt for an amount of 2.5 hundred million pesos with a term of 4 years and a floating rate of TIIE plus a spread of 42%. Sorry, 42 basis points. The demand was for more than 5,300 million pesos. In Peru, Compartamos Financiera was upgraded in financial strength rating from B+ to A-, with a stable outlook by Class and Asociados Rating Agency, while Apoyo and Asociados Rating Agency improved the outlook from stable to positive. And last, we also want to mention that for the first time, Centera, the holding company, obtained a direct loan of 200 million pesos for 2 years from a Mexican bank. This is all from my side. Thank you very much. Please, presentation operator, can we move now to the Q&A session?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And our first question comes from Carlos Gomez with HBCS in New York.
Hello, good morning, and congratulations on the results. I imagine there will be a lot of questions about growth and expenses. I wanted to focus a bit on the international operations. Peru is doing well. Guatemala has broken into a new level with 100,000. Can you tell us what your long-term expectations are for those two markets? How much bigger can Peru become? How much bigger can Guatemala become? And whether you might start any other de novo operations in any other country in the next year or 2 years. Thank you.
Hello, Carlos. Thank you for your question. This is Enrique Mayol. Let me tell you a little bit more about Peru, and Patricio will talk a little bit more about Guatemala since he's in charge directly of that business unit. Our expectation in Peru is very good. As you have seen, our expectation and our strategic reason why we went into Peru was because we wanted to prove that the group lending methodology could work there and could go to people that was not included in the financial service industry. Group lending methodology has grown a lot. Now we have around 350,000 clients in the group lending methodology. You know all this. Our trends of growing portfolio in this methodology is very good. And Peru still, even if it has challenges in the political context, is still a country which has a lot of potential in terms of economic development. And we believe that we are an important part of that development through working capital loans to this segment, the individual lending and the group lending. So for the following years, we believe that in Peru we will still be growing in a double-digit rate. And I think this is going to be the trend for at least the following 2 years.
And in terms of Guatemala, Carlos, the reality is the efforts for financial inclusion in that country are huge. There's a relevant market opportunity. There are not so many players in the market. Today, as Enrique said, Guatemala surpassed the 100,000 customer base, and we are growing at a pace of 15%. This year. So this is a growth that we think that we can maintain following years while maintaining asset quality. Therefore, I mean, in 5 years' time, Guatemala could be double the size that it is today.
Thank you very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, star 1 now. Our next question comes from Claudia Benavente with Santander.
Hi. I have a follow-up question on what you just said, that you mentioned about doubling the size in Peru, but in what time frame? And talking about Peru again, I was wondering if you could give like a little bit of detail regarding maybe the method follow versus Mexico in terms of the flexibility. And I don't know if a third question would be if you can give any color on the cost of risk, which was very low. So I was wondering how sustainable is that ratio. Thank you.
Claudia, just one clarification. When I talked about doubling the size of the operation, I was talking about Guatemala, not Peru.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, and I got the third question about the cost of risk, but I lost the first question, Claudia. Can you repeat it?
Yes, I was wondering about, I know that you're focusing very heavily on growing group loans in Peru, because of course they are more profitable, so I was wondering like a little bit how strategy followed on group methodology in Peru versus Mexico, considering all what you have learned in Mexico because of being relatively more inflexible. So I was wondering if you're following like a pattern similar to the past or applying more what you have learned in Mexico in the past 2 years.
Okay, yeah, got it. Thank you. Yeah, let me start by talking about Peru. And yes, as you know and as you are saying, our experience in the group lending methodology in Mexico gives us a competitive advantage there, and on the other hand, we are the first the leaders and the first players there with this methodology at this scale. And I can tell you that in our experience for the last years, group lending methodology has been developed basically in the same way it developed in Mexico in the first years. There are some cultural differences that we have to address and that we have been trying to manage there. But I think that in general, we have been able to capitalize the experience that we have here in Mexico there. And what we are looking now is to the future and how can we build more automated and more efficient ways to provide the group lending methodology in both countries. And there are some tools that are being developed faster in Peru, and some of them are being developed faster here in Mexico. So I think that the cross-fertilization of the experiences towards the transformation of the group lending methodology is one of our benefits of having operations at this scale in both countries.
Regarding cost of risk, Claudia, as you have already mentioned, our guidance for the year was around 10.5%, but we expect that this year we will close between 8 and 8.5. And we have described in different conferences, we have had a very good impact on just returning to do our methodology and making sure that we take control of NPL. So we think that the levels that we have been seeing now are very good, and probably we have reached a bottom line somehow, if you want. So probably for next year, we would expect levels around 9%, more or less.
Great. Thank you so much, and congrats on the results again.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Shamiega Isaacs with Old Mutual.
Hi. Firstly, well done on the results. I've just got two questions, and they are both related to Banco Compartamos. So the first one is just, if I look at the NIMs, we've seen them come down. So I think year-on-year, it's come down from 68% to 60%, even on a risk-adjusted basis, because you guys have been doing really well on asset quality. But even on a risk-adjusted basis, that NIMs come down from 56% to 52%. So I'm just interested in what's been causing the decline in the NIM. Is it just as a result of the new initiatives that you've been rolling out in order to grow the loan portfolio? And then what does that mean for a sustainable NIM going forward?
Okay, perfect. So there are some things to consider regarding. Number one, we have a smaller average loan portfolio during most of the year compared to in third in Q compared to the last rate of we have a smaller average loan portfolio. The second is that we explain we maintain extra liquidity in the second quarter of the year and for part of the third quarter of the year that affected the NIM mathematically. Third, there is also a smaller participation of Banco Comportamos in the consolidated portfolio, representing 67.1% at the end of 3Q compared to 72.7% in 2Q. And given these dynamics, we have a smaller interest income. The extra liquidity increased the level of productive assets, and as a consequence, the NIM was impacted. Excluding those effects, NIM after provision for the quarter that was 42. We were talking about Banco Comportamos, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, for Banco Comportamos, the level was 53.2. But excluding, 52.3, and mm-hmm. excluding the liquidity effect, it should have been around 55.8.
Okay, and how does that compare to where we were a year ago?
1 year ago, the level was 54.1 in 2017, NIM after provision, and for the first quarter was 56.6. At the first quarter, we didn't have the liquidity effect. And in second quarter, the amount that you see in the income statement, well, that you track from our numbers, was 53.2. But again, including back or taking out the liquidity, should have been around 66.9.
Okay, perfect. So if I try and just make it a bit simpler, what was the yield on Banco Comportamos specifically in the third quarter of 2017 versus the third quarter of 2018?
The yield was 78.3 for Banco Comportamos, 77.5 mm-hmm. in second quarter, 76.4 in the third quarter, and for 2017, 75.8.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then the second question is just on the interest expense, and it actually ties into what I've just asked. And you've spoken about the extra liquidity, which has brought down the NIM. But if I look at it, so if I compare it, to the second quarter's results, so the cash balance has actually come down quite significantly. It came down by around 48%, and yet the interest expense on a quarter-on-quarter basis went up 28%. So what am I missing there? What else has been driving the interest expense up?
It was all driven by the extra liquidity that we had in the last month of the second quarter and for more or less 1.5 months of the third quarter.
Okay, but so then why didn't we see the same effect on interest expense in the second quarter?
Yeah, it was related to the reference rate in Mexico.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press *1 at any time for questions. With no further questions in queue, the question and answer session will conclude. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Enrique Majos.
Thank you. Thank you all for attending this call. As you can see, third quarter gave us the opportunity to confirm that our diagnosis and business plan is right on track. We still have big challenges moving forward. However, We feel confident and motivated to keep working for our clients in the transformation of the financial inclusion industry. 2019 looks like a very good year for us, and we are preparing for it, and I think that our experience of this year was a very solid way to put the foundations for the future. Thank you all for your attention, and we hope to have you with us on our fourth quarter 2018 report. And have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for being in today's conference call. Now you may disconnect.